Craig Ramsey joins us. Craig, how are you?
I'm just wonderful, and I haven't been a trainer yet.
Well, you might have moonlighted as one every now and then.
Probably have.
Craig, I had you on a long time ago when we were for Hockey Coaching 101. It was one of my favorite interviews just because we got into your philosophies on coaching. I want to ask you, you've been an assistant and associate more than you've been a head coach. Is there one you prefer?
Well, you know, everybody, I think, especially at first, wants to be a head coach. I'm not sure that I'm really in the market for it anymore. You know, it was a tough situation in a couple of places where I had to take over as head coach. And, you know, there was sort of a lot of turmoil going on. I took over for someone else. And then with Atlanta, they had some ownership issues and moved the team off. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. For the other side of the coin, I don't care what they call me. I'm here to help the Edmonton Oilers. I want to help Dallas. Eakins do a good job. I've known Dallas a long time. I actually coached him back in Florida with the Panthers. So to me, it doesn't matter. They can call me anything they want as long as they're ready to listen at times when I have something to say and I feel like I'm part of something special.
Craig, when you played, you know, you were a forward who had good offensive skills, but also very good two-way player. You've had a lot of success coaching defensemen. I've had a lot of players who've played under you in your different stops, and they all raved about what a great teacher you were. Where did you learn how to teach the players what you want so they would relate and they could actually employ that on the ice?
Pretty interesting as a coach. You can go into a place or you deal with people and you start telling them what to do. And I don't think that can be very effective. I think in the short term it might help. But in the long term, the concepts are to help someone understand why they're doing something. If you can help them understand why they're going to a certain area, why they're putting their stick on the ice, why they're blocking a passing seam and standing in a shooting lane. If they understand that, they'll find a way to do it. And they'll find a way to react to situations as they break down, as they change. When they morph into something different, you've got to understand and you've got to feel comfortable doing that. And that's what I do a lot. I try to spend time talking to the players and I really want them to understand that I care about them personally. I care about their life. And I want them to be better people by the time I'm finished, and hopefully they're better players for doing that. Because I really do care about them. I learned a lot of that from Roger Nielsen. Roger really cared about everybody that he worked with and worked for and coached. And I would like to bring that forward.
Craig Ramsey, assistant coach of the Edmonton Oilers, joins us. Craig, the defense position, maybe the hardest position in the NHL right now, especially when you're a young player coming in. How much tape have you watched of the Oiler group of defensemen that you're going to be working with this year? Or do you wait until camp starts to get to know them?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I have watched some. In order to learn some of the systems, the video system again, Niall set me up and I went and I cut up a game and I pulled out a lot of what I saw were really good clips, really good things that we can reinforce. And they're clips that players can see themselves doing something that we want to do every time, not just once in a while. We want to do it on a long-term basis. So I have looked at it. I've done some. But I never like to get preconceived notions when we're talking about our team and where we're going to be at training camp. We haven't spent a lot of time breaking down individual players because sometimes you go in and you've got an idea in your head that's probably not quite correct. And I want to give the players every opportunity to show me what they've got and to listen and see where they can get to. And I don't want to have any bad thoughts in my head when I start this.
Yeah, you don't want a bias because we all have a bias. And if you see something, it might necessarily lead you down the wrong path.
Well, it's interesting. If you have that bias and you look at a game, you can find something that the player is doing incorrectly. And then, oh, there it is. I told you that's what it. But the reality is he did an awful lot of things that were really darn good. Mm-hmm. But you were looking for something in particular, and you'll probably find it over the course of a game or two games, you can find what you want to find. I always said I thought I was a pretty good checker, and you can find a clip and say, wow, what is he doing? He's not even, doesn't have any idea what he's doing. But over the long term, I was probably a decent player, and I hope that the players will understand that when they get short-term coaching, it's in order to make them better in the long run.
Craig Ramsey joins us. Craig, Ken Hitchcock, I've had him on the show many times, and he said when all things are equal, the one advantage being a former player is that the players likely will maybe listen to you a bit more because they feel that you know what stress they're feeling or how to play this position on the ice. The game that you played in the 70s and 80s is vastly different now, a lot because of video more than anything else, right? Like, I know the stand-up goalies and butterfly, sure, but the video has changed the game so much, Craig, that most players now, I would assume, are they more educated as far as what to expect from a coach? Like, can you catch them off guard? Can you surprise them with anything? Or have they seen most of it and now it's just a fact of reinforcing it all the time?
Well, I've caught them off guard a few times because what I really teach, and Zdeno Chara, one of my favorite players that I've ever coached, but I was talking to them when I was there about a month, I think, with Boston. I had them called the D over for a meeting after practice. I said, boys, we're having a problem. I'm telling you things, and you're not doing it. And he just turned to me and said, Rammer, we like it, but it's different. You're telling us to do things we've been told not to do our whole lives, and it takes a little while because it's different. And I want to be a little bit different. I want things to be I wanted them to understand that there are different ways to do things. You don't have to be programmed. You don't have to be a robot. I want them to be able to extend themselves and grow into a bigger and better role. And I really believe that you can show them things. You've got to be careful, though, that you don't overwhelm people and try to, drive something down their throat that takes away what makes them a special player.
Craig, the Oilers the last few years have given up way more goals. Last year, the offense struggled, but goals against have been the biggest issue, especially 5-on-5 for this team. And it's not just the defense, it's also the forwards. Will you work with the forwards as well, or are you predominantly going to be focused on the defensemen?
Well, I hope to. I always think I'm going to coach D during the game, but I really want to be part of everything. And Dallas has been extremely inclusive. We've had some wonderful meetings with Keith and Dallas, myself, Rocky. So we all feel like we're having input on everything. Dallas is the man that's going to make a lot of the calls. He's the guy, but we're all having input. And there's no question in my mind, defense is a team game. And when you start talking, we were talking the other day about, our breakouts weren't great. Well, part of that isn't the fact that the defenseman didn't make a good pass. Often it's because the forward didn't get back. He didn't get into position quickly. He was waiting to see what happened. So we need our forwards to be available to want the puck. And then once we've done that, we need our defensemen to get up ice and join rushes. We need to support our forwards. That makes it a five-man game up the ice and a five-man game back. And offense and defense are equal partners together. So the scorers have to learn to check, and the D have to learn to get up ice and help create offense and be part of the offensive program.
Craig, last season on a few occasions I noticed the players were in the right position, where they should be covering a guy, but they lost the battle in front. They maybe didn't get on the stick properly. If you're not a real physical type player or defenseman, what type of things do you teach them to ensure that while they're in the right spot, you've got to make a play while you're in that position to be effective?
Well, a lot of times what happens in those situations, and players, defensemen in particular, have been coached to eliminate the guy and win that battle, push him, and those kinds of things. And for many years now, back with Roger days, I've taught stay free, which means a lot of like basketball, you front your opponent. You get in front of him so that you're between him and the puck if you're in front of the net. If you're in the corner, you're between him and the net. You're always trying to get yourself in a position where your speed and quickness can save you. You don't have to be bigger than everybody else. If you are quick, if you read the plays, if you know where the puck is going and you have a good stick. Good sticks are absolutely vital for any player, but especially a smaller player. He has to rely on his speed, quickness, and that good stick. And then you try to outnumber people. we need, as I say, the five guys, we need five people involved in team defense. And that means you've always got support. You've got somebody that's going to help you out in those situations. So you don't have to win every battle. We don't want to be losing battles. We have to understand the value of that, practice that, and make it a real priority. But in order to do that, we will give you some support. You won't be on an island. You won't be trapped by yourself over the course of the game.
The Oilers defensemen collectively, Craig, didn't get a lot of shots on goal last season. In your experience, you've coached a lot of different players. How can you encourage guys so they really understand and they get used to wanting to shoot the puck more?
Well, that you have in every day practice, you've got to come up with a drill for sure. But probably more than that, it requires the defenseman to be shooting the puck and to shoot it in a hurry. One of the things that I've always been amazed at, and I just don't particularly like it, and then you watch a game, is a defenseman who takes the puck on the wall and then takes five steps to the middle of the ice and then tries to shoot. One, it allows the defenders to get out to him. And two, with teams blocking shots as well as they do now, you don't have just one person in front of you. You probably have three. And you don't get your shot through. So we're going to work on situations and plays where our D are just getting the puck and shooting it. If they can't shoot it on the net, then they shoot it wide. And there's goals being scored throughout the league now on shots taken wide on purpose, bounced off the end boards, and where somebody gets into a battle for the puck around the net. So we're going to try to create a lot of situations and make sure the players, the defensemen, understand that part of their role is to score goals, is to be involved offensively, not just to get the puck to a forward and watch him, not just to wander up the ice, but to get up, to be involved. And when you create that atmosphere, it's fun. Everybody likes that. Everybody wants to be part of that. And every defenseman you have can skate up the ice quickly and get involved in the rush. And then now you're starting to create that atmosphere of offense.
Craig, do you like your defensemen, if they're a left shot, to play the left side and right shots to play the right side?
Yes. Overall, I think that's a good system. It's a good way to play. And for most people, I think they're more comfortable doing that. I've always had some defense who like the other side. But overall, it's hard. I don't know why, but it's hard to get certain players to move over. And you have to at some point. And I know with Andrew Ferentz, when I had him in Boston, Andrew was the go-to guy. He played left, then he played right, then he played left, and in the same game he would have to do that. But game after game, he would be switching left to right, and he never, ever said a word. He just said, okay, no problem, and he would just go out and do it. But it's hard to find guys who are really comfortable playing that opposite side. Now, in the offensive zone, teams set up players on the off wing, off point, so they can one-time pucks from the middle. But overall, I think you do that, you run, you go to that, but players are more comfortable on their correct side.
Craig Ramsey, assistant coach of the Edmonton Oilers, joins us. Craig, I know you guys are kind of in a coaches symposium the last few days, meeting together. What was the purpose of that? What did you gain coming out of it?
Well, this will be my 44th year in the league. This is the first time I've been involved with one of these.
Wow.
Dallas told me, and I thought, okay, and he asked me to make a presentation. But once I got sitting in there, so we had all of the coaches from the various teams the Oilers are involved with. Ian Herbers came in from U of A and made a presentation. And Ian is the next Buffalo Sabre personality. So it was just wonderful for me. We had some, Mark Messier spoke, we had some really neat things go on. And I really enjoyed it. And we got to know each other. We really got to talk about those small details that make the difference in systems play and offense and defense and how things will work within the Oilers organization. And it was just one of the best things I've ever done.
You've also had a lot of success in previous stops on special teams. Craig, you've had input on it. Dallas Eakins talked about, of course, so you know he's going to want to pick your brain on the power play. When you look at the skill that you have in Edmonton and then your power play, like, is there a certain formation that works to the skill set of the players? Or do you think these guys have enough skill that you can throw any, whether it's an umbrella or three guys down low or what have you, that it will work? How does it work on the man advantage for you?
It's interesting because the new, I don't know how new it is, but the 1-3-1 with that one man up top and then three guys across and one at the net, That's the most popular formation right at the moment. I move to it. I like to bring three high. I've run some four high power plays with just one guy down in front of the net. You have to continue to work different formations. You have to have some flexibility, and the players have to understand it. Probably two, three, four different formations that you might use at any given point in time. But overall, I like to get people away from the net so that the two penalty killers have struggled a little bit. You have polar defense and away from the net when you do that, and then attack down and shoot the puck. You have to start off by shooting the puck. If you don't shoot the puck and you don't, it's nice if you have the big one-timer, you got the big shooter out there, but you just need to get the puck moving towards the net. And all the information you receive nowadays is about shooting the puck. Getting pucks on net leads to goals. And there's no doubt in my mind, I've always felt that way, that if you get it back there and you shoot it, the penalty killers, one, first move out to try and block it. Now they have to turn and find it. They're not sure where it is. Often your players are screening the goalie, but they're closer to the rebounds. They're moving towards the rebounds if they're out away from the net. So we're going to start off with shots. And even though you've got to maybe have some highly skilled players, you still start off shooting the puck, and then that leads to other things. So you go high, then you go down low, then you try a half-wall shot. You just have to keep changing the concept.
And that comes from your players and the willingness to want to shoot the puck. And having a little bit of selfishness, Craig, is that the way to say it? Like,
that's exactly the way to say it. I've told players, I don't know how many times, you know, being unselfish is a good thing, but being a selfish guy who wants to shoot the puck, that can be really good. And guess what? If you shoot the puck on the net and your buddy scores on a rebound, he doesn't care that you didn't make a perfect pass to him. He's quite happy to tap in the rebound. So, so many times players try to make that sauce pass through two people, when if they just banked it off the goalie from a bad angle, he kicks it out where they want it anyway. The D have to turn, and now your buddies are banging in rebounds. So it is amazing. I know as a player, I should have shot more. People told me, and I knew it, but I wanted to pass the puck, and I scored 20 goals a few times. But my point was, I'll give it to somebody else. And you have to be selfish, because if you're selfish in a positive way, in a good way, then your team is going to be very happy to play with you.
You had 8 20 goal seasons consecutively, which isn't bad at all. I know playing in Buffalo behind the top line, so that's pretty good offense, Craig. I want to go back to for you. You said you didn't want to watch too much film. You didn't want to have too many biases going into camp. What about defense pairings? Do you have some on paper where you look to say, you know what? Well, obviously, Fane, Petrie, and Schultz are my right-hand defensemen. Then I've got Nikitin, Ferentz, Klefbom, Marinchin, and Nurse as lefties. Do you like to try to get guys so they're comfortable playing with you and have them play together in the preseason?
We're going to try to put some people together, but we have to experiment. We're not positive on where we're going with this, but the players will – we'll sort that out, I think, fairly quickly, and then we'll try to get them in a grouping that we think is positive. But, you know, we're not entirely sure of anything at this point in time, and we're going to give everybody a chance to show their stuff, which means they get to play with everybody. They have to move around a little bit. But, you know, for the first, we'll sit and talk over some ideas on who might end up with who, and we'll try them off and on. But I think it's very important that everybody understands when they have to earn their job with the Oilers. There's no giveaways, there's no freebies. And I don't care, because I'm new. I don't care who you are, who you were. I guess you have to show me what you can do. So there's no, I haven't made my mind up on anything or anybody. I'm really open to watch these kids and let them show me their stuff.
The one player on your team, Craig, who has a reputation and has shown up the last few years that you've coached against him of being a very good defenseman in his own zone, who takes and will play all the tough minutes, is Mark Fane. Right? You can look at all the matchups out east. He played all the other team's top guys, and he's the most experienced right-hand defender. When you look at his skill sets, and then you look at your left guys, just him alone, would you want a veteran in Ferentz, Nikita? Do you need a style of guy who fits well with Fane?
You know, it depends whether we want to put more of a shutdown pair together or we want to have maybe two pairs that we think we can play against. One of the things I really believe in, at some point in time, you've got to play all six defensemen in their dress. You've got to put them out there, and you can't be afraid if they end up against the top line. You can't be. They have to understand that they're now got to, they must play against these people. They've got to be able to do the job. They have to learn to do the job. Now, having said that, I've also been lucky enough to have some pretty good shutdown pairs who you fight to get matchups. And Andrew Ferentz can do a really good job in that situation. He and Fane would be good in that. If you late in a game or on a particular night just want to have that one pair you can really go to. But again, I know generally what the boys can do. And I was more watching when I cut the tape on the willingness of the D to jump up the ice.
Okay.
That's what I was looking for first. And I got some really good clips just in the presentation I made of the Oilers scoring some goals where their defense were up and scored it in some cases, but in other cases they didn't score the goal, but they created the 3-on-2 that led to the goal. And even though they didn't touch the puck, they made the play happen. And that's a concept we want to get through to all of our players, that sometimes just being there is the most important thing you can do.
Because it puts fear into the defenders thinking there's more guys to cover?
Absolutely. And it was really interesting. One of the clips was a goal against Washington, and Green from Washington, who's really a top defenseman, he had two bad plays with the puck in the neutral zone, and then on the 3-on-2, he did one of the things that I just don't allow. He just latched on to a guy and somebody else scored a goal. And so he turned over the puck twice, and then he had his man as he gave up a goal. And these are the things you try to get out of your own team, because the Oilers in this particular situation did a wonderful job, got their D jumping up the ice to create the outnumbered situation. And when Green latched on, somebody was wide open and shot the puck in the net. So it was a great clip to show for what the Oilers can do and what you don't want to do in the other end of it.
Yeah, one final one for you, Craig. I want to go into that. You said you do not want to coach your guys to just get locked on to taking their man. So is it
right,
more than they're in a position that you want them to go to? Can you elaborate? What's the right thing you want your guys to do?
Well, in its simplest form is that you own the middle of the ice.
Okay.
If you own the middle of the ice versus an outnumbered rush, or at any point in time, especially in your own end, if you own the middle of the ice, now your goalies are facing shots from the outside. You don't allow those seam passes as much as you can. And the goalie, no, he's focused on a shot from an angle. And if you can push people away from the middle in your own zone, then you're going to force those shots. Your goalies are going to be happy. They know what they're going to face. And then your D are responsible to recover rebounds and battle after that. But if we just continue to own the middle of the ice with our defenders, whether it be forwards or defense, then we'll keep everything more to the outside, and that's the key. That's really a key issue.
Craig, I could talk to you for hours. I'll always enjoy it. Very insightful stuff. I look forward to seeing you down at the rink. Welcome to Edmonton.
Well, it's just great to be here, and it was so neat to see the snow.
Come on now. I know, because you've been in Florida for 3 years. Trust me. We'll talk in January if it's still neat to see the snow.
I'm getting a little soft. My wife and I were shocked the other day to see that.
Well, that was just a welcome surprise. Don't worry. It'll be warm by the weekend.
It's going to be beautiful.
All right, Craig, thanks very much. We'll see you next week.
Hey, thanks a lot.